Well, good morning. I think my mic's working. I'm going to sure need it today. You got to remember that I'm not so old, but my voice is. All joking aside, it's certainly not what it used to be. Good to see everyone. If you're visiting with us today here in the Bible class, we're glad to have you. Time change Sunday, we're glad to have anybody. It does make a difference. I wish they'd fix it one way and let it alone, but they won't do that. Somehow or another, it's supposed to give you more time, but it's like the Indian whose his blanket was not long enough. So he cut off one end and put it on the other end. That's what they do with this time change. It's no different. They're just trying to confuse us a little bit, I guess. But anyway, good to have everyone visiting. Good to have a family over here, the Miller family, Pastor Miller. There you are. Brother Miller, stand up and tell us where you pastor at, please. All right. Yeah, they were telling me they listened on the radio. We just finished up restoring our budget for the radio. That's important. It is great to have testimonies from really around the world about folks now with the technology they can reach us. And we appreciate that. Also, familiar with our Christian school curriculum, been on that also. And I think I was joking with one of the young ladies there. I think she's going to come to college with us. I told her we had special dungeons for the girls. Some of them will tell you that, almost. Can you believe in this Florida sunshine that we have so much of that I've actually had a few complaints from some of the girls that it was cold in their dorm 2 days out of the wintertime? It'd be something about like that. Well, open your Bibles to the book of John. We've been going, of course, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And we got over here in chapter 9, where Jesus has healed the blind man. And we moved on down. I'm going to kind of try to pick up about where we left off. I'm going to start about verse 31, and we'll try to finish the chapter here this morning. It's not that I'm a slow Sunday school teacher. I just have a bunch of slow listeners. And we just do the best we can together, amen? We remember how the Lord healed the blind man. And, of course, the Pharisees, the super religious crowd, they were judging it because he did it on the Sabbath. And so the argument has developed here that he couldn't be of God if he'd done something on the Sabbath day, violated the Sabbath day. We all got to look out for it. There's a lot of accusations we can sometimes make against each other and all that, but try not to be wrong on either the right or the left in the sense we're supposed to be doing everything as best that we can to understand the other fellow's condition. I've said this before, but it's real easy to become a super Pharisee. Just remember what God saved you from. Remember how long it took you to get rid of a habit even after you got saved. Maybe it was smoking, maybe it was something else, but let's give time for the next person to grow a little bit in the Lord also before we judge them too hard. And we find it's really easy to see, as Jesus said, we see a little bit of mud in somebody's eye, but we forget the beam that's in our own. It's really easy to have that happen. I've done this before, and I'm sure a lot of preachers have. I took a white sheet of paper into the pulpit with me and just took an old ink pen and made a little dot in the middle of it, maybe about the size of a quarter or a half a dollar, then held it up and said, "What do you see?" Well, we all see the black dot in the middle, but you didn't see all the rest of the paper that was white. We got to look at, there's some good sometime that we need to be seeing that we overpass a little bit too quick. Anyway, we're going to jump in here about verse 30, and they're quizzing the blind man now. And so it's really easy to get messed up here on a little bit of doctrine if we're not careful. In verse 30, it's the blind man speaking. Now, he's not blind now. He's had his eyes healed. And they're arguing about whether Jesus could be God. They're fighting the idea that he could be the Messiah. They're fighting the idea that he was from God. And so the blind man is speaking up. By the way, if you had just been born, if you'd been born blind, hadn't seen all your life, and all of a sudden a man met you and caused you to see, I think you'd defend him too. And that's what the blind man here, of course, is doing. So the blind man says in verse 30, now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now, who said that? The blind man. Do you know he's still lost at this time? At this time, we'll prove this in the scripture here in just a minute. He had his eyes healed, but he's still unsaved. He still don't know who Jesus is. He's defending the man that restored his eyes, but he hasn't yet even discovered who the Lord is. So he said, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. There's a lot of truth in that too, but still, we got a lost man talking here. You ought to be careful about when you read the Bible who's talking and who is being spoken to. You got to rightly divide the word of God to stay right. And so two statements. We know that God heareth not sinners. Well, that's not true. God hears everybody. And God can answer a sinner's prayer other than the Lord have mercy on me, a sinner. Of course, that's a prayer for being saved. But God heard in Acts chapter 10, he heard the prayers and the almsgiving of Cornelius, remember? And then what did he do? God didn't even send an angel to tell Cornelius how to be saved. He sent messengers to bring Peter and let Peter preach to the house of Cornelius. So we got to kind of always rightly divide. So be careful about the doctrine. Well, God don't hear sinners' prayers. Well, a lot of sinners would tell you they did. Sadly, in many cases, that don't lead to their salvation. Many times it does. It says, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Well, there's a scripture in the Bible says that the Spirit of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. God does have a way of getting his witness where we would hardly ever imagine sometime that God got a witness in there. But he used sometime very strange means to do that. Then it says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man that opened the eyes of one that was born blind, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now, he's putting up a good argument here to the Pharisees. Common sense. You know, I'm a little bit thrilled that we're getting a little more common sense in Washington, but I want to tell you, we need a lot of it. Not only that, I don't know if, I think some things are being fixed. I'm cheering Trump on and glad he's upsetting the apple cart up there. But at the same time, the job's so big, so impossible. And I've said it so many times, only Jesus can fix the world. We know that. But thank God that they're trying to do some things up there. It's kind of amazing the stuff they're digging up. Sending Social Security to folks that's 150 and 200 years old. Stuff is, blows your mind. And then the waste that they're putting it on. Of course, what they're really doing is they're taking our tax money to promote immorality around the world. And the craziest things, I mean, financing and programming and advertising the perversion that we hate in America. It kind of shocked them because Trump got elected because he was saying some of those things that was common sense right. I get off of that and go on back to the text here. The blind man is arguing. So in verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Now that's their opinion. That's the Pharisees. That's their judgment. Altogether born in sin in verse 34. And dost thou teach us? And what they do? They cast him out. Well, you'll find in many of the miracles, the Lord healed at least, four or five other blind men. You'll find the threat of the Pharisees was always to kick the family out of the synagogue. And putting the pressure on that way. Isn't it amazing how folks will sacrifice truth sometime just because of social pressure? Boy, don't we see that? See that all the time. So they kick him out, cast him out. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, now here's a statement here, dost thou believe on the Son of God? All right, the man was not saved. He could see. He'd already had his eyes healed. But up to this point, Jesus tells him, do you believe on the Son of God? Now the man's answer, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? They were talking a while ago, asking for prayer on our group that's going on the soul winning marathon. We're down in attendance today. I thought about we ought to name this Substitute Sunday. Brother Morgan up there substituting for song leader. I'm going to have to be the substitute preacher today. We're covered for Brother Parsons gone. But they're going for a worthy cause. They're going to be winning souls, and we'll enjoy the reports and all that when we hear them. But we find here that they cast the blind man that's been healed out of the synagogue. Jesus comes to him, asks him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Now, I like the word he called him Lord here. I suspect he was getting pretty sure of who he was. He was defending him to the Pharisees, talking about what he'd done for him, that he must be of God, couldn't be any other answer to it. And so he said, who is he, Lord? You know, when Paul was struck down by the bright light in chapter 9 on the Damascus Road, he was going out to persecute and put Christians in jail. But when the Lord revealed himself, the first thing Paul said to him is, who art thou, Lord? The word Lord is very inclusive. Well, you know that, and I'm not going to park on it. But it's talking about the deity of Christ. He was God incarnate in the flesh. When we get to Romans 10 and we start trying to show somebody one of the easier verses to understand how to be saved in the Bible, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? The Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus is Lord. He's not one of many lords. He is the Lord. And you see in King James Bible, you see the word Lord oftentimes where it's all in capital letters, big letters. And it's given the truth there that he's Lord of all. He is God incarnate in the flesh and so forth. So Jesus said, it is he that talketh with thee. Now the critics and the liberals will say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, he claims it right here. And he claims it in many other places too. It's just amazing how they can't read the word of God. That's why they want to change it. They do read it. I mean, they do understand it, but they don't like what it says. I think it was Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, I guess was his real name. He wrote Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and whatever, books we probably read when we were younger. I'm not going to park on this, but by the way, he was a pretty big critic of Christianity, Mark Twain was. Some of those stories you get Mark Finn or Tom Sawyer there in church and they're so miserable in church. Mark Twain was giving his own feelings against the Lord. But anyway, old Mark Twain said one thing, many things I guess is true, but one thing I remember, he said, it's not the stuff in the Bible I don't understand that scares me. It's the stuff that I do understand that scares me. And so a lot of folks don't want to hear it. They want to change it. They want to dodge it. They don't want to say what it plainly says. So he says here, who is he, Lord? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, speaking of himself, of course, and it is he that talketh with thee. Now, how could you get any plainer? The Lord saying, I'm telling you who I am. Then he said, Lord, again, and you look here, he says, I believe. So the man wasn't saved just because he got his eyes healed. Now, folks, it's real easy to, and I've talked to people, and I'm sure you have too, trying to give them the gospel and ask them about their condition before the Lord. And they'll say, well, I got saved. When did you get saved? Well, when I got healed of the pleurisy. When I got healed from this or that. No, just because you got healed didn't save your soul. But the devil uses that. See, if he can give you a serpent instead of a fish, if he can deceive you and make you happy with that. Sadly, folks, there's too many people that think that. And this man here got saved here in verse 38, but he hadn't been saved up to that point. Now, how many people, I'm not going to ask you to speak or raise your hand about it, how many people you know that if you talk to them about their soul, I'm going to heaven because God healed me of something? No, that's not always the case. God heals a lot of people without them even knowing it. We take God's grace and goodness for granted so much of the time. Old John R. Rice heard him say one time, in his after he was pretty old, he said, a lady come up to him and said, I had a sickness unto death, and I prayed, and God didn't heal me. He said, how you know he didn't heal you? She said, well, he didn't. He said, well, you're still alive, aren't you? Now think on that a little bit. Maybe he did. Maybe he just didn't give credit for it. Didn't recognize that he did it. So there's some practical stuff that we can learn right here. You know, a lot of crisis events lead a lot of people to think, I survived that crisis, I must be saved. How about wartime stories? You could have them. And I have a preacher friend that was in the worst of it in the North Korea, and they call it the Frozen Chosen or whatever it was there in that terrible time when they were trapped and Marines were trying to get out of Korea there. But stories like his and others. Now, he told me, he said, my sister had been after me to be saved a long time before I went in the army, before I was in the war and in the terrible fighting that we were in. He had awful stories to tell. But he said, this particular time when they were all about getting shot up, he said, the bullet went through my jacket and killed my partner beside of me. Said, on his body, I prayed, and I knew the plan of salvation just wouldn't accept it. My sister had been after me and wrote me letters even after I was in the military. And he said, on his body, shooting and trying to keep myself alive, he said, I told God, I believe in you. I'm receiving Christ as my Savior. And if I get out of this war alive, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Well, he became a preacher, and God used him in a mighty way when he got out. But there's too many have a crisis point. I survived the wreck. I survived cancer. I survived this, that, or the other. So God must like me. Amen. No, he loves you, and he wants to see you saved. And he can use and does use some tragic events and some bad stuff to get your attention. But I want you to also understand that just because you went through some bad stuff and you got physically delivered, that does not guarantee you got saved. You still need a personal relationship, a personal time of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, God does use tragic events and bad stuff to reach some folks, but what we overlook so much of the time is God uses good stuff. Let me ask you to go to a verse, if I remember it. I think it's Romans 2 I want you to go to. I mean, it's verses 3 or 4 in Romans. I want you to, let's just take a moment here and consider this, because a lot of times we don't consider this. And I've told some folks, they said, well, God never blessed me. I said, maybe you just don't know how to recognize his blessings. Romans chapter 2, of course, Paul is talking about this. He's talking about judging and judging it and then doing the same thing you condemn somebody else of doing. But I want to move past that. I want to get on down to about verse 4, Romans chapter 2. He says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. See, that verse is kind of plainly saying what I was trying to say. Despise his riches and his goodness. Well, God never done anything for me. Well, you're still breathing. You know somebody in worse case than you, look around. Maybe God's blessed you. Say, well, I've never had anything. Do you have a good wife? Do you have kids? Do you have a home? Do you have your health? All that's the goodness of God. And what happened to somebody else? Bad stuff you missed. I sometimes preach to teenagers and I say, yeah, the devil tells you you're missing something. To live a separated life for God, you're just not having any fun. You're missing things. I said, flip that around. Look what you may be missing because you are living for the Lord. You may be missing some kind of terrible disease. You may be missing running your health for life. So many things that you might, some addiction here or there, you might have missed that because you did try to live for the Lord Jesus. So God uses his goodness too to reach people. And that's what the verse says. And yet we're prone to do just what it says, despise the riches of his goodness. We have an old hymn that says, count your many blessings, that do us all good in our prayer life and every kind of way, to quit looking at the things we don't have and look at the things we do have. Those things from God, his goodness. His goodness also reaches us. And of course, I've gotten older now, been retired from the pastorate here for a few years. Excuse me. And I got some hangovers like this allergy I'm fussing with right now. But I'm sure glad I don't have some of the hangovers the world has. You know. And I look back on my life and yeah, I got some regrets here and there, but you can't put toothpaste back in the tube. But you'd be thankful to God that he put it on the blood if it's something that's not pleasant or right or wish you'd have done better at. And I don't know about you, but I thank God quite often for that. I also, of course, I didn't get saved until I was 22 and lived. I did what the Bible says a natural man does. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so the natural man is going to do what, somebody said, well, just do what comes naturally. Oh, yeah, that's the best way to get in trouble. That's the best way to have scars the rest of your life. Things you regret the rest of your life. The good part is when you get saved, you can say, all right, thank God that's on the blood. I don't have to answer for that. Jesus paid for that when he died for my sins on the cross. And if we didn't understand that, that's the goodness of God. Goodness of God that sent a soul winner to you. Goodness to God that got you to church to hear the gospel. Goodness of God that maybe you knew somebody else that got changed. And thankfully, you saw the difference in them and said, well, if God can help him, he can help me. That's all in the goodness of God. And sometimes I used to have a guy work for me. He was an older guy than I was at that time. Talking about things with him, he was saved. He said, you know, sometimes it's just good to sit down and take a break and hold your hands and think about the goodness of God. And I thought, boy, that is right. Just sometimes we do so much without thinking, to sometimes we don't think enough before we do things. And to count God's blessings. That's what the verse over here in Romans is talking about. How that if we're not careful, we'll take the very goodness of God for granted, and yet God has given us that. And letting that be a testimony to lead us to the Lord. I think, sadly, that some folks do want to conclude, well, I got saved. I heard a guy one time on TV, and I don't watch much of the religious programs on TV. There's probably some good ones and all that, but I've heard some of the most foolish, stupid stuff, too, in the name of religion on TV that you want to hear. And this guy was really running off at the mouth, and whoever was interviewing him, he was talking about the Lord various ways. And finally, the guy asked him what I'd been wanting to ask him real quick, because the foundational truth is somebody's not saved, they don't discern the spiritual things right anyway. And finally, the guy said, well, how did you get saved? And that's the question I want to hear that guy answer, because I'd already discerned, I don't think you're saved, buddy. You're talking about all your works, not the work the Lord did to save you. And I could see he paused, and he just kind of froze for a minute. And he said, well, I got saved. I was about halfway down. And he put out his leg and arm. I got saved like this. I thought, that's about what it sounds like, too. You didn't meet the Lord. You didn't know what was right and what was wrong there. But a sad truth is, and let's don't make that mistake. Let's count our blessings. Let's realize it was the goodness of God that sent somebody to get the gospel to you. I think on my own life, and I sure didn't. When I heard a new girl had come to town and I wanted to date her, I sure wasn't thinking about the Lord. I didn't have any idea about that. My friend told me, said, she and her sister are strange. They won't date you. I said, oh, they date me. I got my name in the paper. I'm a hot rod driver, blah, blah, blah. I was macho and didn't know it. I was stupid and didn't know it. But finally, you've heard my story, but I finally called her on the phone, and famous words that she says she don't clearly remember saying, but I remember her saying them. She said, I wouldn't go anywhere but church with you. And that's what got me to church. Now, God used that, but that's where I heard the gospel. And that's where ultimately I got saved after about four times to church, where she wouldn't go anywhere else but just go to church with me. And she had a plan. I often joke about that. I told her I couldn't go to church in this town here. This is where I was raised, went to school, done all my meanest, had my name at the police station for stuff that I won't tell you about. Well, mostly speeding. But anyway, I can't go to church in town. Everybody knows me. They laugh at me. She said, well, we can go to the church in another city. I didn't know it, but she was setting me up. She told me later, she didn't want to admit this much, but she told me later that after we met, she went home and prayed for me. She said, I knew you needed a lot of prayer. She prayed for me. So I went to church, and I heard the gospel. And I got saved. She took me to a church where she took me to an independent Baptist church. She knew what I was going to hear. A preacher that not only shelled the corn, he threw the cob at you. And got my attention, that's for sure. But that was the goodness of God. Sure. She said, you didn't date any other girls. That's none of your business. But they didn't want to go to church. So that made her different. Amen. I still tell our young people, if you get right down to it, even an old lost boy and an old worldly boy, he still appreciates when he sees Christian character. He'll respect that. So I got popular with the boys. I went to the bar with them. Uh-huh. But they wasn't looking for you to be a wife either. All right. I'm going to meddle there if I'm not careful. But the truth is, God's goodness, oftentimes, if we look back, it's His goodness, His grace, His mercy that got us within the sound of the gospel and got us to hear about Christ and get saved. And this fellow here, he wasn't saved when he got his eyes healed. He argued with the Pharisees over the physical blessing that he'd had and realizing that Jesus must be from God, but he didn't know who Jesus was. So the Lord tells him, just like Jesus, like doing personal soul winning here himself, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Folks, it still comes down to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Philippian jailer, the earthquake come and all that. But what he saw something different in Paul and Silas. They were not cursing being in jail, they were singing. He saw the difference in them, and when he fell down and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And of course, Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. See, that's so simple. That's what I thought to start with. But I knew one thing. If the preacher or the Bible or whatever had a long list of things to do good, I knew I'd already flunked that list. There was no way I could keep that list. No way I could make it. The sad truth is a lot of folks are still working on the list. They just think if I do it, one more thing. I tell you one thing, when you ask somebody if they're saved, if they know Christ, you don't talk to them long before you can tell what they're trusting in. If they start giving you all the long list of the good things they do, that's a dead end street. You'll pretty soon you'll run out. And the trouble is, when you run out of that list, you still don't know if you've done enough. And I can tell you, according to the Bible, you haven't done enough. Because you know what Jesus said? He said, except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, would not be saved. Now, you know what that meant to the common man? It meant that's impossible for me. Because they saw the Pharisees stand on the corner with the long robes and do their religious things and give their alms. And in their eyes of the common man, these were men that had worked their way right up to almost the door of heaven, doing things that the common man knew he couldn't do, couldn't achieve. But you know what Jesus compared that to? He gave the story of the Pharisee and the publican going down to the temple to pray, remember? And he said, the Pharisee basically said, Lord, I've done this. I've tithed off every little thing. I've done all these good things. All of this I've done. And I'm not like this publican over here now. I'm up there. I've climbed the ladder, so to speak. That's what he thought. But the publican smote on his breast, said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. In other words, I'm not on that guy's level. I have not worked up the ladder like he has. There's no chance for me. And Jesus said, which one went down to their house justified? The publican. Folks, we're all publicans. We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And the sad truth is, folks are still trying to keep a good work list of all the things they've done. And the reason they can't tell you I know I'm saved is because they don't know if they've done enough yet. Don't know if I've done enough. That's a miserable place to be. You'll never really, and I've said this so many times, a man is never really ready to live until he's ready to die. And you're not ready to die until you have the peace of God and the assurance of where you're going. Where you're going is, I've said this at a lot of funerals. I've had a lot of folks ask me a lot of questions about the persons that's died and having the funeral. But you know what? It don't matter. Someone, I think about the doctor in Winter Haven. I think about it all once in a while at a funeral still. He told me, he said, you know, this rich fella, rich in the eyes of the world, died, and I was his doctor. And he said, they asked me, just how much did he leave? You know, how much was he worth? How much did he leave? He said, I told him, he left it all. Think on that. You're going to leave it all. You can't take that to heaven, but I'm going to tell you what. All your good works that you're going to offer at the gate of heaven wouldn't get you in if you could take them with you. You can't. You can't make it. But to throw yourself on the mercy of God, receive his son that paid the price for your sins and gives you his righteousness instead of you, you had none. Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy that he saves us. It's his mercy that Christ says, okay, what you couldn't do, I did for you. Accept my robe of righteousness. And I say today, a lot of folks can't get that basic truth. Just can't get that basic truth. You never want to be saved until you know you're lost. And you'll never get saved until you realize you're not good enough. You can't earn it yourself. So just finishing up the chapter here. Jesus identified himself in verse 37. Verse 38, the blind man said he believes, he worships him, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. Now he's using a real salvation point here. The Pharisees thought they saw, but they were blind. And that's what he's saying to them. So the Pharisees know he's talking to them in verse 40. So some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, are we blind also? Somebody said, when you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, The one that yelps is the one you hit. He threw a rock here in a pack of Pharisees, and they begin to yelp a little bit. Are we blind also? Yeah. He dialed their number. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. So he's talking about spiritual blindness that the Pharisees is one of the greatest pictures of that you find in the Bible. Trusting their own righteousness instead of the righteousness of Christ. Thinking they're good enough. I've had a few folks like that. I remember one time at a service station, just an old boy it's been a long time. Back then, they would actually pump your own gas. They'd come out and pump gas to your car, so you know that's been a long time. But anyway, I'd pulled out a tract and was giving it to him and inviting him to church. And track starts off, Roman Road, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he saw that and he said, well, I've never sinned. The reason I remember it is because him saying something that crazy. He said, I've never sinned. I said, well, what you're doing right now will pass till you do sin. You're lying. And that is a sin. Now, you say he didn't really mean that. Yeah, he was trying to argue with me. He hadn't have done anything wrong. Now, that's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. Bible says if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. We're a liar. Truth is here, there's a good practical lesson here from the blind man. He got his eyesight. The goodness of God led him to the Lord. He did confess the Lord Jesus. And we'll probably get to see him in heaven when we're rejoicing around the throne up there. Time's up, I believe, Brother Smith. Okay, on time change Sunday, 674, so it could be worse. We may have this week and probably next week, we're going to just have a lot of folks gone. So that means you need to be faithful and bring somebody with you. Amen? All right. About 7-8 minutes and the preaching service will start.